Welcome to Some Say I'm Gifted, where we teach you the magic of walking in your spiritual gifts and how it can help you navigate this crazy life, and helping you understand that even though we're in this world, we are not of it. So take a deep breath, relax your shoulders, and let's get real.
Hey, y'all. It's me, Tess, from Some Say I'm Gifted. I'm here with my two other hostess cakes, Morgan and Danielle. Why don't you two lovely ladies say hello?
Hello, everyone. I'm Danielle, one of the three cakes.
Hello, I'm Morgan. I am a vanilla cake.
Clearly. Anyways, guys, we need to do a shout out to one of our lovely followers that interact with our post. Does anybody got one they want to throw out?
Yes, we are going to mention Dana Wingard.
Not that ho. Mm-hmm.
Yes. She a hostess too? A ho?
Yes, yes. Ho? Yes, that's what I meant. Hostess cakes. Because we're all sweat trots, right?
Sweat trots.
All right. Hey, Dana, thank you for interacting. And if you would like to hear your name on our lovely podcast, just interact with one of our bazillion posts that we do weekly. Mm-hmm. I say bazillion because there's a lot. We try to keep it fresh and comical. Anyways, how are y'all doing? We're doing record weekend, which can always be hard on the old noggin.
It is.
Oh, I should probably tell you, right? Morgan's looking at me like, tell him. But what she doesn't realize is that I don't always look up. Because I'm cooking.
Yes.
Because so, I'm a cooker. I cook things.
I'm signaling with my eyes.
but I'm not looking at her because I've got a knife. And I'm cutting up chicken thighs to go in my homemade jambalaya.
Ooh, so excited.
Which is what we'll eat later. And then y'all will hear about heartburn, I'm sure, whatever. I don't get heartburn. They probably do.
Don't be jelly about missing out on the jambalaya.
You should be jelly. It's going to be amazing, and I'm so excited.
Yeah. When we get together, I know this is crazy because we look so perfect. We have to eat. It's a bonkers, I know. But, yes, we do like to cook and eat together and share the experience. We even bring my husband and children along sometimes for the experiment. So, I'm cooking, so please forgive me. But we have an amazing podcast planned for you today. It's all about the vibrations of things, really. Right?
Yeah.
So, do you guys want me just to jump right in?
Always.
Yes.
Here, because I'm not jumping in. No, I'm just playing. So, I was driving down the road one day, and that's a lot of our podcasts. I will call Danielle or Morgan and be like, I want to talk about, you know. So I'm driving down the road one day and it hit me. My husband and I, he always talks about how beautiful and green everything is here. Like, we have such intense levels of green that it's breathtaking, wouldn't you say, ladies?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. All the trees. And not to mention, like, the kudzu is covering the brown of the tree. So it's like, there's no...
Well, yeah, we have some kudzu, but not as much as we in East Tennessee, we have some, but not like West Virginia. That's just greenery here, by the way.
Yeah.
Did you know that? Like,
well, I commented on it once when I was younger and I first came here, and your mom was like, that's kudzu and we hate it. And I was like, oh,
yes,
okay.
In spots, but like,
get that invasive thing out of here.
So like Virginia, West Virginia is kudzu. You know what we're talking about? Like when you go up to Ohio to see your husband's family.
Yeah.
Do you know, when you get to West Virginia, it's just like, it looks like ivy taking everything ever. That's
okay, yes. Gotcha. Gotcha, gotcha.
We have some of that here, but not like, if you'd ever been to West Virginia, you'd be like,
bad.
And that's why, because it overtakes. It's very invasive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we still have, from the top of the mountain, all the way down. It's green, isn't it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And green, super green grass. Like, you do have lush areas of green grass. Mm-hmm.
Yes, everywhere you look, it's, like, green. But it's, like, almost a glowing green. Like, it's really, it's very vibrant out here.
It's overwhelming at times.
Yeah, blinding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, do you know that different colors have different vibrations?
I'd heard you talk about it before, but like I've never really looked into it myself.
Me either. I know very little about it, I will say. But I know each color is supposed to have a different vibration that it goes along with.
And symbolism, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. There's different colored roses, different colored stones that we work with.
Mm-hmm.
So. Don't give too much away, I'm setting a timer.
Yes, ma'am.
We only have so much time to give all the secrets out.
You think we can do it all?
Okay, I doubt it. I have to push button for button. You know, like if I'm setting a timer for 20 minutes, I have to sit here and push it 20 times.
Oh my goodness, you can't hold it and do like 10 minute skip?
Nope.
Crazy.
Sorry, I'm really ridiculous about cleanliness when cooking. Because I get freaked out easy. Okay, so different vibrations are different colors, just like... Well, first we have to understand the concept that everything is a vibration of atoms, molecules, right?
Yes. Atoms make up everything.
Yes. Yeah. Whether it's a cup, a table, a tree, a me, or a you.
Yes. I have a funny joke about atoms.
What?
It's really cheesy.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's from you.
Why do scientists not trust atoms?
I don't know why.
They make up everything.
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
I had to set her up as soon as she said it. I knew.
Yeah,
that was a good one. That
all
was
right, cute. So thank you. The vibrations of atoms that make up everything. They vibrate at different levels, and at different levels, it could even be different colors, different sounds, all kinds of cool stuff. So I was driving down the road the other day, and I thought, you know what? The highest vibration recently we were told was gratitude or
authenticity.
Authenticity. Mm-hmm. But usually the highest vibration is love, mm-hmm. right? And when people experience love and feel love, which the highest vibration, you guys pull up a spectrum, so to speak, right?
Yes.
A scale.
Yep.
And what is the highest vibration of color?
Highest vibration is green.
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 Okay. So if we think about everything that's green, what is the first, when somebody says green, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Trees.
Okay, what about you, Morgan?
Money.
God.
Well, I think plants, but just because we had already kind of checkmarked that in my head, the next thing I thought of was money, so probably.
We didn't, yeah, but specific plants like grass or, you know,
yeah.
Ivy or kudzu, whatever. It's green, right? Yeah.
My favorite color is green.
Mine too, but if love is a high vibration and green's the high vibration, could love reflect green on the scale of vibrations?
Yes.
Absolutely.
So when I'm driving down this lush mountain area of all these green colors, I automatically go, wait a minute, green equals love, right? Which is, I don't think that's like I'm having this amazing epiphany moment. That's the truth. That's a true statement.
Yeah, right? You'll find that in lots of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I started looking around and go, but why is there so much hate here? Mm. Right?
Yeah. Mm.
Recently, we were talking to a woman whose grandchildren just moved here from another country. Now, if you saw these people, you would not know they were born in another country because they look very Caucasian. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
But they are fluent in other languages. They're really smart. And I said, oh, man, where are they going to go to school? Because I knew if they went to a county school in this area, it would be very, very hard for them. Mm-hmm. Because people in this area are very judgmental and very full of, like, I don't want to make it look like we live in the worst area in the world. We don't. But there's a lot of judgment here. And I thought, how do you, she even said they're not going to any of these schools around here. They're going to a whole city away from here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good.
Right?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. How can this beautifully lush green area be so full of hatred? Because it is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of judgment and, yeah.
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 How could that be? I live, in the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. So, if you don't mind, ladies, could somebody look up Bible Belt for me on the Google? Not AI Google, but regular Google.
Regular Google, coming up.
Our journalist is on it.
Yes.
Okay.
I can smell them spices already.
Are we going to trust Wikipedia on this one, or should we go?
You can. I mean, The thing is, it's like a, you'll see, just read. Okay,
so it says the Bible Belt is a region of the southern United States and the midwestern state of Missouri where evangelical exerts a strong social and cultural influence.
Well, I live in the belt buckle of that, which means that I'm right smack dab in the middle of judgment from hell. Like, literally. So, in Roan Mountain, we talk about Roan Mountain a lot, it is a village, not even a town, correct?
Yes.
Can you go more than a mile without seeing three churches?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
So, let's just for a second play pretend, right? Let's play pretend that each church causes division and hatred. Can we do that?
Okay.
Sorry, I'm opening this. Thank you, Spice.
I'm not super familiar in the politics of churches. Is that our churches opposing churches?
Yes.
There's like a big political separation there? Or like anger or resentment? Or not anger or resentment, so but like a dislike, like, between churches?
For instance, like, we have Southern Baptists.
Yeah.
Why would you have Southern Baptists? You have Baptists, right? Mm-hmm. You've heard of Baptists. Then we have Southern Baptists, Southern Free Will Baptists. We have Free Will Baptists. They're all Baptists, but they're all different because somebody got mad at so-and-so in this church. And we're going to go down here, and we're going to be Southern Free Will because God gave us the free will to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's almost like rival, like, schools. I almost feel like it's very, like, college, like, rival-y type.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, there's just this... Like, you don't really talk about it. You just don't like one another, I feel like. Especially if you hadn't, like, started in it. It's just like, oh, yeah, I don't know who, just, like, Penn State's rival is. But it's like, oh, that school, I'm just not going to like them, you know? So, I don't know. It feels very, like, college rival.
They're not me, so I'm not going to...
Right. Yeah. And they don't, like, feel the same way we do, so...
Yeah.
See you later, you know?
Gotcha. Okay, so I'm guessing that causes a lot of tension within the community.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, but here's the thing. You have all these... Let's think about, like, a sweet little grandma lady... She could love and accept everybody, but if the preacher standing in the pulpit says you can't love your grandson because they're gay, what do you think she's going to do?
Either hate the church or hate their grandson.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing it's not hate the church.
Absolutely. So in my brain, I'm driving and I go, wait a minute. How is this possible? Right? Can y'all hear me?
Mm-hmm. So...
How is it possible that we could have this much hate with this much faith? And is hate of God?
No.
But is hate the opposite of love?
No.
Fear is. So do they hate the other person or do they fear their situation? Is it hate we're dealing with or is it the unknown and fear? Right? So how do you counteract all that love? Because God is love. How do you counteract that? You put division in every corner. You put church on every corner. All teaching a different message. What do you think? What do y'all think about that?
Yeah.
Well, see, that was my thing. Like, how could a place that's so full of love, because it's so lush and green and vibrant, and then these churches come in, how would those things oppose one another? But if you're constantly changing up the church and causing more division and more division and separating the people, I feel like it just... like inflicts itself on like every part of the area.
Yeah, it causes the opposite of what church is supposed to be, where you're building a community and you're learning from each other and you're answering the questions of like, am I going to hell for this, or, you know, all that kind of thing. But instead it causes all that division.
Yeah. It's just so sad though, because it's such a beautiful area, but I feel like it's just so
backwards, closed-minded,
like darkened by everything that's come to try to take that away from it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, how does one fix it? I'm asking you to. How would you fix it?
Well, I think Jesus came to tear down the four walls of religion, and that's how he tried to fix it, was get rid of the structure of religion.
Mm-hmm.
See how many floods there have been here?
trying to break down walls.
You gotta get rid of them somehow, I guess.
Yeah, floods and mountains don't really make sense.
I mean, especially what happened last year. Like, that's never happened.
Speaking of what happened last year.
We're talking about Helena.
Yeah.
You, Danielle, and me and Morgan met you to give donations. How were we treated?
Oh my gosh. You know, not very well, in my opinion. I feel like it was a really nice thing that, like, we were trying to do. And I feel like we were met with just, like, oh, you're here? Drop them off on the side and, like, go away.
They were super nice on the phone until they saw us, right?
Super sweet on the phone. Like, I really thought it was going to be different. And I was very shocked what it wasn't, I guess.
So, do you think, in your opinion, in dealing with people here, are they judgmental?
Very.
Extremely.
Isn't it bizarre that this place that offers so much love and acceptance, or could, is what it is?
Yeah. You would think it would be more open with how, I mean, like... It's just a perfect place for a bunch of hippies. Like, it's gorgeous. It's the Appalachian Trail comes through here. Like, you would think that it'd be a happy, peaceful place, but it isn't all.
Well, it seems like it would be the perfect recipe for love to grow and to spread. So that would be the perfect place for someone to come and destroy all of that. So I feel like it's being just, like, hit harder because it already has all of the workings of being a absolutely wonderful, loving, accepting community. You know?
Okay, so now that we're on this topic and we're really rolling, guys, please know that we're not judging anybody. This is all our thoughts and hypothetical, and it's an inside view to my brain, which is really terrifying, okay? So for a second, I want you guys to think about Ireland. Mm. When you think of Ireland and Scotland, we think of this green lush, right? Mm-hmm. Can anybody tell me what happened in Ireland and Scotland?
Division?
I would imagine... There was a lot of war and division there. Oh, wait. Are we talking about, like St. Patrick and, like, him coming to, like, bring...
Huh?
Like, St. Patrick and him coming to, like, bring his religion over there and convert everyone, basically?
To drive out the snakes.
Yeah.
Which was what?
People that thought differently than...
Hold on, I can't hear you. My chicken's
crying. You're fine. It was like people that thought differently than him, like root out the sin, basically. And
Druids, yeah.
Yeah.
And what did they bring? Catholicism. Controlling Catholicism.
Yeah.
So let's go to early America. What did they do to the indigenous people?
Genocide?
Yeah. Huh?
Genocide?
Yeah, but...
Religion. Yeah.
Tried to convert them.
They did convert them.
Yeah. That's terrifying.
It is terrifying, and it's sad because
it took such a peaceful, beautiful place. Maybe not peaceful. I'm not saying Native Americans were peaceful, but it was something so much more
pure,
natural.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
So how do we counteract that? We speak the truth. But God's word says that, remember, I was hated in my own home. Mm. In my own hometown. And you will be treated like me and worse sometimes. So does it take an act of God to clear out some of this and make people understand the community doesn't matter what you look like, how you dress, your gender. It is just that. It's community. If you had a magic wand, and I ask this question a lot, what would you do to change it?
I don't know. Honestly, like, I would wish that everyone could see each other for who they are, like, their souls, like, deep down who that person is, and then, like, realize, and then see themselves... And realize that we're all human. We all make a lot of mistakes. Nobody's perfect. And why are we judging each other when at the end of the day, we're all just judging ourselves and mad at who we are. And that's why we bring judgment to other people. I don't know. I guess just remove the mask that people have in front of their eyes. Like, remove the rose-colored glasses or whatever it is that they put on to see what they want to see. I would love that. That would be my magic wand.
That's where I was going, is like you were saying, like, in yourself, seeing your own love that you have, and stop, yeah. I don't have it much better than that. I think this is very well done.
Thank you. Yeah. No. Maybe just, like, have people love themselves so that then they could love other people better. More.
So you guys sent me pictures over here of this spectrum. Pretty high.
Yeah.
What do you think? Let's say, for instance, the circle one.
Mm-hmm.
When you get down into like the 12 and stuff like that of the what would you think a desert would look like?
Very just like tan, brown, very like.
I want you for a second to close your eyes and think about an old school church. What's it look like? Describe it to me. Think about the pews, all that.
Very like muted, dull colors.
Yeah.
Like plank floor is like what I'm kind of looking at. Like old, like an old church. Like a plank floor, plank. Mm-hmm. You know.
Very, like, barren.
Yeah.
I know that, like, the church that I grew up in had, like, those maroon felt, gosh, like, seats and stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was very, very dark.
Yeah, most churches, most modern churches are dark, extremely dark.
Which, I'm not talking about modern churches, because modern churches have a different look.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't originally, but I'm saying even modern churches, yeah.
There's not a whole lot of greens and blues, so I'll tell you that.
No. So we have discovered that green is the highest vibration that links up with love, right? And we're like, how do we counteract this? And I know that you guys are probably like, get to the point. And here's my point. It's a horrible tragedy, right, that we have all this beautiful green and lush surroundings. I should probably tell you, we had to take a little pause so I could finish cooking and we could eat.
Yes.
That's why it's not like,
you know. Behind.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're full now and a little bit more content in our bodies. But we have all this beautiful, lush green around us. And it's very sad, right? Like, with that comes all these churches and division and judgment and, you know. But I'm just going to play the flip side of the coin, right? What if God knew, because he knows everything, that there was going to be nothing but judgment everywhere you looked and nobody would be able to agree, and he knew that churches were still going to stand, and he knew there was going to be 20 different denominations under one name, right? And 17 different kinds of Presbyterians and 20 kinds of Methodists and 84 kinds of Baptists and don't even get me started on Catholicism, you know, and he knew all this division was going to be here. So he made sure that the places that were going to have the most division, the belt buckle of the Bible Belt, would be covered in green. So one day, a little kid who had no idea what love was because their parents treated him like shit, and everybody rejected him, he was different, could look out into that beautiful horizon that we have here and see all that green and feel the warmth from that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
This is making me teary-eyed.
I'm so sorry. Morgan doesn't cry, but it's the truth. That's,
yeah.
That's why this is so green.
Yeah.
That's why we have this, because we do have such division. And people will be like, that's bull crap. There's division in New York City. Is there?
Not like here.
And I mean, there is staunch division. There's a lady that we know that's from this area. And, like, dude, I'm born and raised in this area, and as I get from a lot of different people. You're not like the people from here. You don't act like them. But there's a lady we know. She's a wonderful, sweet, kind lady. And she found out we did Reiki, and she gave us the side eye.
Yes.
And we immediately had to shut it down. Like, no, you don't understand. We don't do what you
think Reiki is.
Yes, we follow Christ. And I had to bring it back to Christ immediately, because I knew if I didn't, she was going to really dislike us.
Yeah, which was going to put roadblocks up in what we were doing.
Yes, right? Absolutely. So every time you see an area that's nothing but lush, lavish green, know that there's at least one person there that God is showing love to. And it's not necessarily through a church or through anything like that. It's just God showing his love for us. Now, let me please say this. This is my understanding. This is my take on it. I'm going to turn it to you girls and ask you, how do you feel about it? Do you think that that's a possibility?
For sure.
I really hadn't thought about it that way, but it's almost a, I came from it as a, what came first, chicken or the egg? And when you're sitting here in the forest, I'm thinking, well, all this, God built the trees and the trees are already here. And then we brought this, all this division or,
Yeah. Judgment, division.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if God had already known that if he already knew that we were going to bring that mm-hmm. here, and he then built the trees for that purpose, just puts a whole different reality to it.
Yeah.
So I really, really like that. I think you're completely right, because if you already know that all that darkness is going to be there, then God's like, well, I'm going to spread the light.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I had not thought about it, and wow.
Yeah. So if we let us, and this could even go down to grounding, right? The earth resonates at what, like how many kilohertz? Is that right? Yeah. It's the same as what our body cavity goes through. So if we go out, we get barefoot in grass, dirt, and we hug a tree, it can ground us. It can bring us back to, like, who we are. Mm-hmm. It can help with depression, meditation, focus, hormones, all these wonderful things. And you think about it and you go, he knew that. He knew that there was going to be concrete. He knew there was going to be buildings. He knew there was going to be internet and electricity. He knew that, so he put places for us, sanctuary, so to speak.
Yeah.
How do you feel, Danielle, about this?
No, I agree. So in thinking about it, I live near the sea,
mm-hmm.
and the sea is so vast that in my mind, nothing could ever overtake it, right? So it's going to be here till mm-hmm. the earth doesn't exist anymore, if that ever happens. And I think there's a reason for that. Like, it was made so vast, and the land was made so vast, and we were made the way we were.
Yeah.
So that we couldn't destroy everything, because he knew one day we would need all of it.
Yes.
All of it. And yeah, so I never looked at it that way. I always came from the perspective of, we keep coming and destroying this beautiful earth that we were given.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at it from the perspective of, well, it was here because of when that started to happen, we would still have all of that stuff. I mean, I think that's beautiful.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I think that the more we look at the things that God gave us and brought us, brought to us or built us on, the more it's like, wow. Look at that green. Mm-hmm. So let's just take a second. And if you need to close your eyes, that's fine. But let's think about, do y'all know what Pangea is? Mm-hmm. You don't know what Pangea is? Oh my gosh, Danielle, do you want to pull up
yes.
what Pangea is?
A little
so
map
at
of
one
Pangea.
Time in the earth, I'm going to explain it while she, and she'll give you a visual. Okay, Morgan. Pangea means that at one time, everything, all the different continents were one piece of land.
Oh, I've heard that.
And it depends on how you believe and what you believe in of how it was divided. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like tectonic plate shifts, yeah. Or
you Christ know. Did it because yeah. He was separating different tribes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But Pangaea-wise, the Appalachian Mountains, especially this area, connected to Scotland, Ireland, and England. Yeah.
Stop.
Isn't that crazy?
That's like, okay. Oh, well, that makes so much sense.
The cool thing is that, like, if you think about this area and the indigenous people that were drove out, mm-hmm. and you think about Ireland and Scotland and the Druid people that were drove out, it's like, I've been to Scotland and it looks like it does here. It's this green. The difference is it's at the same level as Alaska, so it's much, I mean, I feel like I need to live there. Okay. But does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So being that God, we believe that God created the heavens and the earth and he spoke things into existence, right? But he still knew the areas that needed the most love. Isn't that crazy?
It's insane. Like, that is so cool, though, to think, like, all of that was connected. And he knew ahead of time that, yeah. that those were the places that were going to need yeah. the most love. And geographically, they're very similar. It's like, that's crazy.
And you can make it so small. Like, with the constellations.
Yeah.
How, mm-hmm. like, we've talked about on the Moon and Stars episodes that he placed them where people were going to need them specifically for that person.
Yeah.
And to think if he's been doing that, he did that since the beginning.
Yes.
That he knew that that tree needed to be there to stop that arrow from hitting that person. Mm. The trees needed to be here for the religious reasons and for all of this. And to be like, he did that much detail for this amount of time.
Yes.
Is insane.
It's absolutely,
it's massive,
and it's really a beautiful thing to step back and look. So one thing that I'm going to ask, if you're listening to this, whether you reach out to us personally because you have our cell numbers, or privately, like personally, or you do it on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, well, we don't have a Snapchat, and I think that's for the best, TikTok, or even at somesayofgifted@gmail.com, all those platforms, right? We would like, any, if you say we don't want to make this public, you just want to tell us. Mm-hmm. When you get to a point that you're trying to connect to God, do you look to the heavens? Maybe at night. I know that for me, that's a, you know, I talk about this a lot, but like the moon and the stars, man, I can connect to, you know, the creator of the universe that way. Or is it the mountains? You know, and I think about the Rocky Mountain, like out west. You know what I mean? It's a totally different look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I will say, like, growing up in these mountains here, and then going, like, to the Grand Canyon, I really thought I'd get there and be like, oh my God. But it is such a different, beautiful colorscape.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A different energy.
And it totally different energy, but so full of life.
Yeah.
And it makes the greens there more vibrant. It's bizarre. I mean, because you look here and everything's so green. I wish I would have got my husband while we were eating dinner to talk about how green it is, so you could have heard his, what inspired this conversation, or and what inspired these thoughts, because just the vibrant green, mm-hmm. especially right after, at the beginning of summer, it almost hurts your eyes. It's so green. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think you guys have been here. It's pretty green now, but the peak of green here is like so intense that it's overwhelming.
It's almost like fluorescent.
Yes.
It is so bright and like shiny.
And it feels like it's like your heart's beating fast.
It truly feels like the sun is reflecting off of it to the point that it's like, I mean, it's intense, but it's beautiful. Like, even just driving in here, because I've been here a couple times during the summer, but, like, everything is so lush and so green that I don't even think you can appreciate it for what it is until you're actually here and seeing it.
Absolutely.
It's beautiful.
I will say that when you live without it, it's weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, where you grew up, Morgan, super green all around you, but corn green, which is different than this green, is it not?
Yeah.
Do you feel
and it's all lower. Like, we have very green grass and an emeraldy green leaves for the
corn.
Stalks. Corn.
Yeah.
Yeah, the corn stalks. But that's only goes up to 6 feet around you, 6 or 7 feet around you. And then you've got massively large blue skies.
Yeah,
but... You don't have all these mountains.
Yeah, but for you and I, we're short.
Yeah.
So if we're standing in a cornfield, it's very... to me, it's like... One of the first times Morgan came here, she goes, "Hey, yo, I feel claustrophobic with all these mountains." And I went, "Really? Because I feel claustrophobic at where you live.
Because
I feel like everybody can see me. I feel like there's a sniper somewhere and I can't see them. But in the mountains, I know where the vantage points are. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I know if somebody's going to try to shoot me from over there, they're going to have to be up this high and I'm going to be able to see them."
Yeah.
So it's a different... I mean, it's definitely still that green vibration, right? But it's mm-hmm. just a different... Here, it's green all the way up. Mm-hmm. Almost to the sky
yeah.
is what it feels like.
Yeah. Yes. It feels
and
like...
And there, it's blue, green. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. There's a fine line. Yes. A hard line.
Hard line. Very, very hard line. Very little.
There's one road that I love to drive on because it's so flat that you can see the curvature of the earth in the winter when the corn's cut down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can see the curvature of the world. That's why.
That's
yeah.
so cool.
That's why I'm not a flat earther. Otherwise, I could have been.
Huh.
Homeschooled, you know. Could have been brainwashed.
Okay. You know what? Speaking of reality shows, that made me think. The flat earthers, actually.
Yeah.
There is this girl on TikTok that says, "I want a real reality show. I want a reality show where flat earthers are constantly trying to find the edge of the earth."
Listen, I feel like I've seen this TikTok, and I was like, I would watch it.
I would too, in a heartbeat.
Let's go. I just want to know.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see what they see from their perspective and, like, go on this hunt with them.
Yeah, maybe they could convince us.
Maybe they could.
Maybe.
Nobody's just given them enough credit for a show.
Have you guys met flat earthers?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a time.
No.
Yeah. No, I have a couple.
It's interesting.
It's interesting.
I encourage you to make friends with one or just meet one.
You know, maybe I have. I've had a couple of people that I've met and I thought, I wonder if they're a flat earther. But I wasn't bold enough to ask. Should have asked.
I feel like, I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel like they just like talking about it.
Yeah.
I feel like they'll just bring.
Maybe I haven't.
Bring it up.
No. So you know the earth's flat, right? That's usually, I've met like two or three and you're like. Explain.
Yeah. Because I feel like it doesn't just come up in conversation. It's more one of those yeah. But it's interesting. But that's, I love that. Because, so where I grew up in Pennsylvania, it was all very hilly, super hilly and very green. And now by the coast, it's like very flat. So it's very different. But I do miss this, like growing up with all the green. Because I feel like there was a lot of it in PA and now there's not as much of it.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is it hard going back to... Because the ocean is... There is, like, a level of aquamarine or green to it. But, like, is it hard going from here to there? Or even Pennsylvania to there?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's not?
It is. It is. And I think I don't realize it until I leave and, like, come here, go to PA and go back. But that's why I wanted to live in a neighborhood that had trees. Because there are a lot there that don't have trees.
Yeah.
The grass is, like, it's a different kind of grass. It's very sandy grass. Yeah. So it's, like, brown mixed with the green. But I told Eric when we moved, like, I needed a place that had trees and felt like a neighbor, like a true neighborhood. And he was like, well, what does a true neighborhood feel like to you? And I was like, with trees and grass and, like, I don't know, life, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it is a little tough. I think that's why I spend so much time at the ocean, because I'm like, if I'm not going to have my trees, then I at least need water, you know?
Yeah. So here's another really, and I'm just throwing things out here because I think this is interesting, and that's what we do on this podcast, is talk about interesting things, right? So have y'all ever met people that are terrified of grass? Like, terrified of grass completely?
No,
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think
so. It's like a phobia. I don't know the exact name, but there's people that are like, and it's not just the grass, but they're terrified of the bugs that live in the grass. They're going to eat them, and like, so they won't walk on it. And usually, if it's usually, I don't know why, but in my studies, so to speak, it's always been people that are older, and they convince their children and grandchildren not to walk in the grass because they'll die. It's really bizarre.
What do they think is going to happen?
That the grass can consume them.
Like quicksand?
Usually the same people are also terrified of a lot of things. And part of like cults and stuff. Mm. So it's all fear-based, everything.
Interesting. Wow. So where I've met a lot of people. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I've met a lot of people who are say they're allergic to grass.
Yeah, no. One of my nieces is allergic to grass. She gets all rashy.
Yeah, but I've never heard of that. Yeah.
Like, what do they do if they have a lawn?
They walk on their sidewalk.
So they can't, like, mow grass or anything, though?
No. You know? No. They can't touch it.
That's crazy.
Or they can mow it, but they just can't touch it. They have to have shoes on, and they have, like, very distant. Like, if they have shoes that they walk in grass, and they can't walk in their house today.
Wow. I've never met one of these people.
Oh, it's real. And it is intense. And I'm mean. Because I'll be like, oh, there's a piece of grass up there. And like, ah! You know. Stop. It's really bizarre. So, we want to know what you guys think about all this. And green being the, you know, the coolest, whatever. I'm not saying it's the coolest. And if you live in an area that has not got a lot of green, is there something that you know that God put there for you that is connective to you, right? So let us know, and if we can share it, we would love to. We are on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube at Some Say I'm Gifted, and you can find me personally at Tesseray Lee McKittrick on Facebook and Some Say I'm Gifted at gmail.com. God, did I get all those, guys?
You did. Good job.
I love you guys. I can't wait to hear what you have to say, and let us know what you think of this podcast. Like, subscribe, follow, share. Tell your neighbor, tell a friend, tell an enemy. We don't care. We love you guys.
Love you guys.
See you Thursday.